Welcome to the weekly podcast from the Church of England. In this week's programme, the Reverend Stephen Girling speaks about Bath Abbey's Shoppers Carol services, Tally Proud Digital Media Officer at Church House Westminster talks about the hashtag Christmas Means, and the Bishop of Salisbury, Nicholas Holton, reflects on the COP21 agreement made in Paris. But first, the Archbishop of Canterbury has invited more young people to spend a year in God's time as applications open for the second year of the Community of St Anselm, which offers Christians aged 20 to 35 the opportunity to spend a year in a community inspired by the monastic traditions. Prior Anders Litzel talks about the community.
Well, our members have been here for 3.5 months now, and it's been an extraordinary journey. It's been beautiful, it's been challenging, it has been of God, and I'm deeply humbled, very excited for what the rest of this year is going to hold for the current members and for what we will be able to invite people to come into for year two. I'd also want to look at what has happened, which is 36 people who have come from very different places in their faith journeys, geographically, culturally, personally, you name it, and whom God has taken on a journey. He's just so extraordinary in his ability to guide each one of us through the steps that we need to take. So from that perspective, yes, absolutely anything is still possible.
The two people that we've heard from who have been with you for the 3.5 months, they've both got a lot out of this, but things that they didn't realise they would. Do you think that's a general experience with everybody?
I think it is, yes. Partly because God is infinitely more good and more generous than we can even imagine. So there is always more for us to receive than we had in mind. And also we receive from God in areas where we thought we were giving, and we find that actually in the areas where we're giving and we're stretching ourselves might be the areas where we receive the most as well.
So having been through one application process now, and you've got the second one about to begin, what sort of people are you looking for?
I'm looking for people who, above everything else, want to follow Jesus, grow in likeness of Jesus by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and to the glory of God the Father. It is as simple as that. You can come from any Christian denomination, any part of the world, at least for the resident program where we're able to sponsor visas. There is the one factor that is by far outpacing any other consideration, is a desire for the presence of God and becoming more like Christ.
And what about the non-resident program? Because that's slightly different.
It is the same in terms of the kind of person we're looking for, the heart and the drive behind it. For the non-residents, it's specifically an opportunity to go on that journey while embedded in their workplace, in keeping their accommodation. I used to say in and around London, looking at our members this year, that ranges from Birmingham to Brighton. But joining on an evening and weekend basis, in joining the resident community. But the bulk of this journey of formation through prayer, through study, through service of the poor, happens outside of the walls in the space of regular life.
What have you got out of this 3.5 months so far as prior?
Oh, that's a good question. An increasing humility before what God is doing in people that far, far outdistances anything that I could possibly hope to do or achieve in my own strength. I have been very blessed by seeing just a sheer hunger in these young men and women, in their desire for more of God. There is more to life with God than anything we've experienced to date. That is just the nature of engaging with someone who is infinite in goodness. There is always more. And that every time I see a bit of my own desires and hope for this community or for a particular person or for myself exceeded, it widens my imagination for what God can and will do in the months to come.
And you can hear more interviews from members of St Anselm on the Lambeth Palace SoundCloud page. The Reverend Stephen Girling, missioner at Bath Abbey, is helping shoppers find peace and a time to reflect on the season during the Abbey's shoppers' carols. Ben Hollabon started by asking him where the idea came from.
I didn't come up with the idea, but a former curate at the Abbey dreamed up the idea about 5 or 6 years ago, in conjunction with the growth of the Christmas market, which happens principally around the Abbey. And it's been running ever since and growing in success. It's basically a 20-minute carol service for shoppers who come to Bath for the Christmas market. So in the course of an hour on a Saturday afternoon during the market, and we run it at 1, 2, 3 and 4 o'clock, in the course of an hour we spend 20 minutes getting 800 or 900 people into the Abbey. Then the following 20 minutes is the carol service, which is 3 congregational carols, the Christmas story, a 5-minute talk, and some prayers. Quite light-hearted, and a good feel to the whole thing. And then we spend 20 minutes getting people out of the Abbey and preparing, clearing up and preparing for the next service to come in. So it's pretty full on.
And what is your role as missioner at Bath Abbey?
So my role is principally twofold. Firstly, developing the outward-looking work of the Abbey in the city of Bath. So that would typically include making links and developing links with other churches around the city, with businesses, with the retail industry, with local authority, education. A lot of people want to use the Abbey for their exhibition or their event. In a sense, a great part of my role is responding to those requests and asking the question, well, why should we do that at the Abbey? How does that fit in with the principal work of the Abbey as a parish church and a place to celebrate and develop faith? And then to work with those partner organisations in whatever way is going to be most fruitful for them and for us. The second part of my work is developing the interpretation of the Abbey and the Christian faith to visitors. We have roughly 400,000 visitors a year from around the world. And as with any Abbey type or cathedral type church, there's a mixture of those who are interested in the architecture, those who are interested in history, and those who are interested in the present life of the Abbey. And of course, those who just want to come and be quiet and still at the heart of a very, very busy city. So my role, working with others at the Abbey, is to look at how that visitor experience really can be a very positive experience, not just of the history and the architecture, but also of the living heartbeat of the Abbey, which is the people who worship here and the faith that is expressed here and from here.
And who is it that you've seen coming into these carol services?
It's mostly shoppers at the Christmas market. Of course, so we're running these on 3 Saturdays during the Christmas market, and the Saturdays is the busiest day. And a lot of people come in for a breather, and they come in because it enhances the whole Christmas experience. I gather coach companies, sell the Shoppers Carol service as part of their package. Because, I mean, people find the Christmas market experience great, but it's also pretty intensive and full on. So to be able to come into the Abbey for half an hour or so, sit down, take your breath, and actually think about the meaning of Christmas. Yeah, but a lot of people love that, and we have no trouble at all filling the Abbey for each of those 12 services. They're shoppers from the Christmas market. A lot of them come from Wales. We've got a strong contingent from Wales coming to the Christmas market because transport links are very good to Wales. Good number from Bristol, and of course all other parts of the country. As I say, mostly people on coach tours, and a good sprinkling of people from around the world. Yeah.
And what sort of conversations have you had with the people who are coming along to these carol services?
The actual conversations are quite limited because it's so full on. You're literally, you think of trying to deal with sort of 800 or 900 people. Four times on the Saturday afternoon, the conversations are quite limited. The feedback we've had by email and social media is, so appreciative. A good number of people who say, actually, I wasn't particularly looking forward to the intensity of the experience of coming to a Christmas market, but it made my day or made my afternoon because I was able to, escape for half an hour into the Abbey, take my breath. And a lot of people delighted that the church is actively involved in this way during the Christmas market and doing something different, something that complements the consumerism of the Christmas market.
And from your experience, do people still want to find time for church at Christmas, even in the busyness of everyday life?
Yes, I mean, I think, in a sense, as a missionary, I'm probably bound to answer yes to that question. I think in my experience, a good number of people, particularly at the Abbey, come into the Abbey because it's somewhat of a place of refuge in a very busy city. So they're literally coming in to sit down, to take in the atmosphere, and to have a rest, and to go somewhere different. And of those people who come in, obviously a good proportion are there for the history and the architecture. But equally, we know from the number of people who come to light a candle in particular, but also the number of people who leave prayer requests, and we also know from the conversations that people have with stewards and guides that a goodly number of people are really interested in what the church still has to offer in society today. They are interested in a spiritual encounter, a religious encounter of some sort. As I say, maybe even more so in a place like the Abbey, given its proximity to the heart of a very busy city. So yes, people still do want to find, not everyone, but a good number of people. As I say, 400,000 visitors a year, and any number of carol services and other concerts and special services through this month. People still do want to come to the Abbey and find that place for a special time at Christmas.
How do you manage to keep these services ongoing and filling them up with people? What would you say to other churches looking to do something similar?
I think the secret of the success of our Shoppers Carol service is that it's for shoppers. It doesn't feel like an Abbey service to which shoppers who happen to be around are welcome to come. It feels like a service that is dedicated to shoppers. In other words, it's enhancing, the intent is to enhance their whole experience of Christmas. So there's no sense in which you feel as if visitors who are just coming in for that 20 minutes for their carols, there's no carol service, there's no sense in which you feel they're intruding on the life of the Abbey as people who aren't normally religious. There's just this lovely, open and easy sense that this is something that is specially put on for us as shoppers. So I think paying attention as the church to where people are at and what people want that might enhance their experience of a festival or whatever the occasion is, paying attention to what we might do on, it's not solely on other people's terms, because obviously we as the clergy at the Abbey are describing in the service that we put on for shoppers what we believe the Christmas message is all about. But in the way that you run it and the way that you time it and the way that you host people and even the way you brand it, you know, Shoppers Carol Service, the whole message is, this is something we're doing for you. Welcome here. So let's celebrate together as Abbey clergy, Abbey volunteers and the shoppers. Let's do this together. So we spend 20 minutes doing it together on effectively one another's terms rather than simply you coming onto our turf, as it were.
So what's coming up over Christmas for you?
Yes, well, apart from the normal run of family carol services and lots of dressing up, a live donkey, even at one service, nine lessons and carols, choir concerts and so on, we are very fortunate to have the BBC coming for a live broadcast of our 10 o'clock Eucharist on the morning of Christmas Day. So we are taking the opportunity in that service to talk about some of our mission links as the Abbey, in particular with the with Palestinian Christians on the West Bank, with a home for disadvantaged children in southern India, and with a charity that works with the Abbey in Bath to support people who are homeless. So the theme of that service, within the whole Eucharistic setting, with the contributions from our choirs, which is going to be fantastic, well, three choirs and another choir, which is part of the Abbey, Younger Children's Choir, all making contributions. The theme is healing and hope. And we're looking forward to a live broadcast going around the world.
And you can tune into the service live at BBC One at 10 a.m. on Christmas Day. Starting on Christmas Eve, the Church of England is encouraging people to tweet photos of their Christmas services using the hashtag ChristmasMeans. Tally Proud talks about the origins of the project and why people should get involved.
It began a couple of years ago as a way of getting people to be talking about the real meaning of Christmas on social media. At a time when everyone was talking about Christmas on Twitter in terms of presents and food, and we just wanted to make people think about it a little bit differently. And it did really, really well. We saw loads and loads of people tweeting about what Christmas means to them and tweeting photos of what Christmas means to them and of busy churches and all sorts of things. And it was really fantastic to see people talking about it, not just here, but all over the world, but it spread.
And what exactly sort of things have we seen posted by people using the hashtag ChristmasMeans?
Well, it's a real variety. You know, we leave it open to people to finish the sentence, what Christmas means to them. So it was everything from Christmas means hope, Christmas means light, to Christmas means being with my family in church on Christmas Day. So there was a real fantastic variety from everyone.
Talk to us about following the hashtag on Christmas Day and what actually happens online.
Well, we'll be using the hashtag from Christmas Eve onwards, and you can just follow the Church of England on Twitter at @C_of_E, and we'll be retweeting anyone using hashtag Christmas Means. And you can follow the hashtag itself and see all the different ways people are using it. And you can get involved yourself by using it. And what we'd really love to see this year is churches and people tweeting photos from church services, showing how busy it is, how much fun you're having, videos of you singing carols, and messages from the congregations, and just show how much fun and how everyone is celebrating on Christmas Day and Christmas Eve.
And what else is happening on social media at Christmas?
Well, we've got the @OurCofV account, where Catherine Headley from St Martin the Fields will be tweeting her Christmas week, which is really exciting. And we've also got @ChurchLive, which is our new project, where each week a different church live streams, video streams their church service using that Periscope. We've got all sorts of Christmas services happening. On the 23rd, we've got Ripon Cathedral live streaming their 9 Lessons and Carols. That's at 5:30 p.m, so tune into that. On Christmas Eve, St Luke's Reading will be broadcasting their crib service, and St Thomas's Bedhampton will be broadcasting their midnight service at 11:30. Then on Christmas Day, St John's Hoxton offer a fantastic Christmas Day family service. You can watch it. If you can't get to any Christmas services, you can follow @ChurchLive on Twitter and join in with some of the live broadcasted services that we'll be showing.
Finally this week, the Bishop of Salisbury and Lead Bishop on the Environment, Nicholas Holton, gives his impression of the COP21 agreement made in Paris and the Church of England's role.
COP21 was always going to be a struggle, but I think it's really brilliant that we've got an agreement about what the aspiration is, that we've got a framework around it which means that we'll be accountable to each other and that we'll review the process. And with those three things, then I think we've made real progress. And of course, we're still at an early stage on the journey. There's loads to do. But actually, some remarkable things have happened in the process. We're talking in a different kind of way, and it feels a much better ending than Copenhagen felt, and a much more positive spirit about what now needs to happen. I think for the Church of England, we've actually been on a journey for quite a long time. We've been talking about climate change and acting in response to climate change since the 1980s. Actually caring for creation, stewarding that gift which God has given us, has been one of the marks of mission since the 1980s for the Anglican Communion. It's not additional to evangelism mission, it's part of evangelism and mission. It's who we are as Christians, caring for the gifts God has given us. So we continue the journey, we continue with things like shrinking the footprint, eco-church, with caring for churchyards, living churchyards, with education programs for our children and for our congregations. We can all grow through that, because what we need to learn to do is to tread more lightly on the earth, and to help in this transition to a low-carbon economy. Because without that, we're going to experience the sort of dramatic flooding, the sorts of weather incidents which are causing problems, particularly for the poorest in the world, but not just the poorest in the world, for all of us, that have a big impact on our lifestyles, and we need to start changing the way we live now. One of the things I've been thinking about a lot through the pilgrimage and through COP21 is the way in which, do you know, this isn't a burdensome story where, oh my goodness me, we've got into trouble and we're in real difficulties and we begin to sink in our seats and feel the burden on our shoulders. Actually, this is about delighting in the gifts God has given us, of using them well, of recognising the beauty of the earth and caring for one another. Love God, love your neighbour as yourself, care for the earth. Actually, that's all part of what it is to be a Christian, responding to the love of God and the beautiful creation we've been given.
And you can find out more about the COP21 agreement, as well as the pilgrimage to Paris, by visiting www.pilgrimagetoparis.org.uk. That's it for this week. I'm Chris Lamarcon. Thanks for listening.